Hey guys, Pastor Jürgen here. I'm so glad you're tuning into one of our powerful messages that is guaranteed to absolutely elevate your life to another level. At Awaken, we only want to preach fresh, real, powerful to help you grow stronger in your walk with God, develop your faith so you can take more territory. I'm praying that God blesses you and enriches your soul as you listen to this amazing word from God. God bless you. Good morning, Awaken Church. What an honor to be with you here today. Today, I'm actually on the screen at every single campus, so it's an absolutely thrill. I only do that about every 6 to 7 weeks, so I'm honored to be able to speak to you today. I've got a powerful word in our brand new series, Champion. And obviously, Champion is the theme leading up to our Emerge Men's Conference, which the theme this year is Champion. Champions don't just win, they also champion others. So today, I want you to come with me in your Bibles. I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Bible, so it's going to be a little bit loud. Just come with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 10. I know, bad joke. If you tithe more, you get better jokes. It's just how it works. That's just 1 Chronicles 11, verse 10. Says, now these are the chiefs of David's mighty men who strongly supported him in all his kingdom, together with all Israel, to make him king in accordance with the word of the Lord concerning Israel. This is the list of David's mighty men. Jashobeam the Hachmonite, probably the first Scotsman. In fact, Scotland needs a revival right now, if I was honest with you. He was a Hachmonite. He was from the chief of the 30. He was a hero. He lifted up his spear against 300, whom he killed at one time, which is a pretty decent feat. Next to him in rank, this is the guy we're going to focus on today. Next to him in rank was Eleazar, the son of Dodo. It doesn't say the son of a Dodo. That was his father's name. The son of Dodo the Ahohite, who was one of the three mighty men. He was with David at Paz Damim, where David had long before killed Goliath. There, the Philistines were gathered together for battle, and there was a plot of ground full of barley. Some translations say lentils, full of barley or lentils. And the people of Israel fled before the Philistines. But they took their stand in the midst of that plot and defended it and killed the Philistines, and the Lord rescued them by a great victory. This is one of my favorite stories, one of my favorite messages, because this guy, Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahohite, was a guy who came to David when David was in the cave of Adullam, when David was fleeing from Saul, when he was trying to just not be murdered by the king that was threatened by this rising power. The anointing of God on David, the prophecy that David would be the king of Israel replacing Saul. Always understand that people don't like to lose power once they have it. There are massive protests right now in Russia because Vladimir Putin got 87.4% of the vote, and there are lines all the way down the street of people protesting the vote, far more than apparently didn't vote for him. Once people are in power, they're very, very reluctant to give up power. That's why we have to fight in America for our elections this year. That's why we have to fight to secure the vote in every county, every precinct, because who's in power matters. I know that a lot of Christians don't want to believe that. Who's in power that matters. And so you'll hear Christians say, well, you know, God's in power. He sits on the throne. Yes, he sits on the throne. Heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. But he's given the earth, dominion over the earth, to men, to mankind. But not all men are kind. There are mankind and then there are man perverts. And we've got to get the man perverts out and put mankind, kind men, godly men, virtuous men back in authority. It's pretty simple. But anyway, this story, I want to give you 5 quick points. The title of my message today is The Diary of a Champion. The Diary of a Champion. If you are looking through The Diary of a Champion, here are 5 principles, 5 points that I want you to understand. The first one is this, that the enemy comes back. The enemy comes back. The Bible says that this guy, Eliezer stood in a field in a place called Paz Damim. Paz Damim means field of blood. Why was it a field of blood? Because it was at Paz Damim where David took the head of Goliath. In the same field, in the same territory where David took Goliath's head, the Bible says the Philistines now gather again in that place. I'm not sure if you've ever had this experience, but man, I got delivered from rejection. I got delivered from lust. I got delivered from anger. I got delivered from my addiction. I got delivered from gambling. I got delivered from my struggle. I got delivered from my insecurities, only to find that a year later, 6 months later, 3 years later, it seems to circle back. The enemy seems to gather again. Yeah, I love movies, and one of the crazy things about horror movies is just when you think you've killed the evil giant, just when you've killed the zombie, just when you've killed the vampire, just when you've killed the werewolf, the monster, whatever it is, Freddy Krueger, just when you think he's dead. You see these scenes where the couple's hugging and the dead person's lying in the background, and all of a sudden they sit up. And I'm not sure if you ever noticed when you're in the movie theater, but the people on the screen are trapped. And you're screaming, "Behind you! He's getting out! He's behind you! Don't hug and kiss! No, don't hug and kiss! Look behind!" And they can't hear you. Have you ever noticed that? They can't hear you. Like they are trapped in there, and I'm screaming. People are telling me to shut up. I'm like, I'm not shutting up. They're about to get murdered. Have you seen what Freddy Krueger's been doing? And anyway, next minute you get thrown out, and it's like, I can't believe the prejudice in some movie theaters just for yelling out. I'm trying to save lives. Like, stop it. But you know, in The Terminator, it's so funny. In the Terminator, you know, he was a cyber-kinetic organism of 100. A droid who came back from the future to kill Sarah Connor, and you know, he gets crushed and blown up, and then there's just like a torso with one arm with three fingers and one eyeball, you know, still kind of, and then she has to cry. I mean, he was relentless. He just kept getting up. So I used to wonder. I used to think, oh man, did I not get properly delivered? Maybe I didn't repent properly. Maybe I only got half delivered, or maybe this blood of Jesus stuff doesn't really work. And then God began to show me that the Hebrew calendar has 360 days. And so they have every 5 years, they do an extra month because to make up for the disparage between 365 days and 360 days. So every 6 year they have a 13th month. But they have 30 days a year, 30 days a month for 12 months every year, which is 360. It's very interesting that a circle has 360 degrees. We measure time linear in the West, not in the East. In the East and in the Bible, time is measured circular, in cycles. That cycles, just as summer comes around every year, just as winter comes around every year, just as fall comes around every year, just as spring comes around every year, the Bible teaches us to look at the cyclic movement of not just the planets, not just the weather patterns, but even things in life. That which was will be again. That which is has been before is what the Bible says. And so what God showed me is that in your life and in my life, there are things that you defeated. There are things that you put to death. There are things that you conquered in your yesteryear, in your yesterday. They will gather again. The enemy will gather again. Until Jesus splits the sky, we have an enemy. He will gather again. He will press again. God allows him to press again because God has already preordained you to have victory over the enemy. But the reason that he gathers again in that place is because there's a promotion and an elevation that is about to happen. See, David had first killed Goliath in this field, and then David was promoted to king. Now, all of a sudden, Dodo the Ahohite is gathered in this field where the Philistines have gathered in the same field, and he has a great victory. He defeats the Philistines, and then he's now elevated in rank. The Bible says that these mighty men who were in debt, in despair, in distress with Saul, who came to David, these were broken down men. These were beaten down men, but they came to David, who was a champion. He was a champion because he defeated the champion, Goliath, but he was a champion because he championed others. At Awakened Church, We know that the strength of the future of our church is determined by our ability to bring the gold, to bring the strength, to develop the potential in the people today. That's why we didn't just rest at being a salvation church. We moved into making sure that we're a discipleship church. Discipleship church is taking people who are saved and developing the skills, the gifts, the anointings, the mantles, the callings on people's lives so that they can flourish. David established his throne. David was one of God's favorite people, not because he was perfect, but because he championed others, because he built up others. And so here is this guy called Dodo the Ahohite, who comes literally from obscurity into unbelievable front and center blessing, recognition, because he fights a battle in a field where the enemy had long. If you find the enemy coming back, it's only because God is about to elevate you to a brand new level, brand new level, brand new level. The second point is champions stand even when it's not popular. Champions stand even when it's not popular. The Bible says the Philistines gathered in this field and the Israelites fled. They fled, and the inference is that Eliezer is alone standing in this field. Everybody else has gone. Everybody else has fled. This kind of reminds me of 2020. 2020 was a crazy time, and most people were tucktailing and running. We had people moving to, you know, the red states or the easier states. And I even had people ask me, Pastor, like if things get worse, you know, in California, like California's crazy and they're calling it all kinds of names. Like, are you going to leave? Are you looking to, I'm like, what, hang on. This is not a preference thing. God didn't say, hey, go to California and enjoy the sunshine, rainbows and lollipops. And then if it gets difficult, just forsake my call. Put yourself first. Put your personal preferences first. And God called me to California. I give my life for California. I'm here to fight for California. If I'm the last man standing, I'm going to be the last man standing, but I refuse. You're going to have to pry my sword from my hand. One of the translations says that Eliezer fought and they had to pry the sword from his fingers because of the way that the fierceness of his battle, his commitment to the thing. Champions stand when it's not popular. You know, we saw a wave of the social media pastors, the social media preachers. I even heard recently of some particular ministries where they have algorithms to determine what is most popular amongst the people. Let's preach that. They don't want to touch the controversial. They don't want to touch the difficult. They don't want to touch the prophetic. They're doing all their sermons by algorithms, just seeing what is most popular out there. You never establish the kingdom of God taking the popular vote from amongst the people. It is a sad thing. It is a sad thing. Self-preservation is always a destructive thing when it comes to the kingdom. The Bible says, greater love has no man than this, and he lay down his life for a friend. Friend, I'm telling you, if you don't find a cause to stand up for, if you don't find a cause to die for, you haven't found anything worth living for, is what Martin Luther King Jr. said. There is something that is worth fighting that is above your personal preservation, your personal comfort, your personal preference. When 2020 hit, we knew we had to stand. We knew we had to draw a line in the sand. We knew that we couldn't back up. When everything was being shut down and everything was being on lockdown, we knew we couldn't shut down and we couldn't lock down because we saw the devastation. We saw the hopelessness. We saw the fear. We saw the anxiety. Anxiety was at another level. Drug addiction went through the roof. People taking antidepressants went through the roof. Hopelessness went through the roof. We knew we had to open up the church. The devil didn't want the church open. He wanted people addicted to drugs and addicted to liquor and addicted to the gambling casinos. He all the things that were open were the vice things. All the things that were shut were the hope things. So we determined we're going to stand and we're going to be open. I got to tell you this, in this life, there are moments where you got to fight for what's right. You got to draw a line in the sand. God is looking and God wants to move on behalf of people who are willing to stand even when it's not popular in your workplace. It might not be popular to be a Christian, but stand for Christ in your workplace. People may be slandering the church. Stand for God. It may not be popular amongst your family to go to church. It may not. I found that every decision I made, I had to make against popularity. My father was an atheist. atheist. I was the first one saved in my family. I left engineering to go to Bible college. I went to a Bible college. It was far away. It wasn't easy. Then I moved to New Zealand. It wasn't easy. My whole life has been, will you stand for what's right or will you stand for what's easy? Will you stand for what's right or will you stand for what's popular? God moves on behalf of the one, just the one person who will stand, draw a line in the sand and say, I refuse to go to what's popular. I'm going to stand for what's right. Champions stand even when it's not popular. Number three, champions live by principles over preferences. We don't know whether he liked lentils or barley. It was irrelevant. It doesn't say in Dodo, Eliezer, the son of Dodo the Ahohite, loved barley. And when everybody else fled, he said, no one's taken my barley. I love barley. It doesn't say that. We don't know whether he may have even had a barley allergy. He may not have been, you know, a gluten-free guy. We don't know. We don't know. Does he like lentils? Does he not like lentils? Does he like barley? Does he not like? It doesn't matter. To him, it wasn't about whether his preference. Can I just tell you, if you want to ruin your life, live by preference over principle. If you want to ruin your marriage, live by preference.
Well, I prefer not to go out. I prefer to save money. I prefer if you wear those old shoes. What's wrong with them?
Like, if you live by preferences, holy shnikey, you are in for, you got to live by principles. You got to live by principles. You know what I discovered? I discovered that how I got her is how I keep her. That's another message. In 2020, again, just to, you know, kind of go back, because it's kind of in the rearview mirror, it didn't matter to me whether we, Leanne and I, were pro-vax or against vax. That didn't matter. When the government was forcing vax, we're against forcing. We're against, like, you don't get to, like, can't you see the alarm bells going off when government is saying you have to do this or we'll fire you, you have to do, and then was vilifying people on media, you know, and hate and vitriol. Hospitals shouldn't treat anybody. They should die of their cancer. They should die of their sickness. They should die if they're not vaccinated. It's the pandemic of the unvaccinated. And like when I saw that vitriol, well, that's when I decided, okay, we're going to draw a line in the sand because it doesn't matter what my preferences are. We have a principle, government, you don't get to treat people like slaves and treat people like serfs. The last time I looked at our constitution, you're elected to serve your constituents, not to lord it over and enslave your constituents. So we began to stand up. We began to stay open. You know, they said, well, you know, we prefer the strip clubs are open. We prefer the casinos to be open. We prefer big box chain stores to be open. We prefer liquor stores and marijuana dispensaries, but we prefer the church isn't open. Well, I don't give a rat's about what you prefer. We know that the principle is that God is building his church, and until Jesus splits the sky, we have a responsibility to stay open. We have a responsibility. I have a commandment that comes from a higher authority than the President of the United States of America. It comes from the King of Kings who sits on a throne, and he has commanded us to preach the gospel until he returns, to make disciples of every nation until he returns. So you can blow it out your shorts. We are not shutting down. We're going to stay open because champions live by principles over preferences. Can somebody say amen? The it's so funny. Like in my marriage, I have found that if I live by principle, I have principles in my marriage that I will honor Leanne. I will open the door for Leanne. She doesn't need me to. She's strong. She's fit. She can open her own. But I open the door. I take her out on date nights. I love to. I see my responsibility to. Honor her financially with whatever her desires are. I make it my personal goal, my personal ambition to give her the life that she delights in. If she doesn't want to cook, take her out for dinner. If she needs a new pair of shoes, you know, like I know Imelda Marcos had, but you know, she's given her a good run for, but because when Leanne married me, I thought she married me. I thought she fell in love with me. She didn't fall in love with me. She fell in love with the ideal I presented. When we were courting, it was like, go on. Wow. How did that make you feel? That's so interesting. I can't believe that Janice would. Whoever thought that Janice would? Is that right? And Rebecca said, what? Oh, I can't even. Wow. And how did that make you feel? Tell me about your day. No. And so she fell in love with someone who was listening, someone who was attentive, someone who never made noises from their body, somebody who always smelt good, who had cologne on, someone who was suave, someone who opened the door, someone who was romantic. That's what she fell in love with. And then when I thought, okay, the hunt's over, I can put all that bait away. She's like, hang on, where's the ideal? I realized that I had to go back to the principles. She married an ideal. She married a lifestyle I was promising her. You will find in marriage, if you can live by principle over preferences. I have a principle that every day God is first. Every day God is first. In fact, he's not first, he's also last. So he's the Alpha and the Omega. So I've made a decision that the first thing I'm going to do every day is read my Bible. The last thing I do every day is either have a worship song or scripture so that I sleep dreaming the dreams of God, and I wake doing the activity and doing the work of God. It is a principle that I live by. And because of the busyness of life and because of the demands upon my time, because of the demands continually solving problems, needing wisdom, needing understanding, I find if I immerse myself in a principle that God gets the first and the last of my day, he's the bookend of my day. He's my first thought in the morning and the last in the evening. Isn't it interesting that Goliath came out morning and evening, crying out saying, where is your God? Do I not defy the armies of Israel? Give me a man that we would fight. And the Bible says for 40 days he presented himself morning and evening. Don't let the devil steal your morning and don't let him steal your evening. He wants to rob your sleep by putting doubt and putting fear and putting negative thoughts. You're going to lose your home. You're not going to make it. The contract's not going to come through. She's not going to say. He's going to fill your thoughts with all kinds of negative. And in the morning, he wants to upset your day. But by give God the first in the morning. Give God the last in the evening. And you'll find you're shutting out the devil. That's why God said to Joshua, meditate in my word day and night. Day and night. And do not let it depart from your mouth. Then you'll make your way prosperous. And then you'll have good success. In Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor does he stand in the path of sinners, nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates. When does he meditate? Day and night. Day and night. If you want to make your way prosperous, if you want to bring forth fruit in season, if you want to flourish, give God the first and give God the last. Give God the first, give God the last. Give God the first, give God the last. It's a principle, but I promise you, if you'll apply that principle to your life, you'll experience the life of a champion. Number four, almost there. Number four, champions look to God, not the odds. They look to God, not the odds. I love Star Wars, and I remember there's a scene where Han Solo is bringing the Millennium Falcon out of light speed. And all of a sudden, they're in a meteor shower of what used to be a planet that is now destroyed. And it's like, that's what I'm telling you, kid. The planet ain't there. And they're kind of going through this meteor shower. And, you know, little C-3PO says, the odds of surviving going through a meteor shower are 4,946 to 1. And I love Han Solo. He turns and says, never tell me the odds. And just keeps kind of navigating through. Too many Christians look at the odds. Well, you know, the odds are a terrible substitute for God. Eliezer didn't look at the odds. Eliezer stood in a field surrounded by enemies. He was surrounded by enemies. I remember hearing the story many, many years ago of somebody coming up to the captain in a battle saying, Captain. And he's like, what is it, man? What is it? He says, the enemy. They're all to our north. They've all assembled to our north. And the captain says, all right, well, let's fortify our focus on the north. He says, no, that's not it. He says, they're also gathered to our east. He says, all right, well, then let's make sure we divide our people so we've got some to the north and some to the east. He says, that's not it. He says, they're also at our south. They're also to the south of us. He says, all right, well, let's deploy some men to the south. He says, and they're also to our west. We're completely surrounded. And the captain says, good. Now they can't get away. We're completely surrounded. Good. Now they can't get away. Eliezer was completely surrounded. He didn't look at the odds. He didn't say there are less with us than they are with them. Oh, I'm only one man with one sword. What possible? The devil wants to intimidate most Christians. I believe that most battles are lost because most people look to the odds rather than look to God. Well, you know, in my workplace, I'm the only one. In my family, I'm the only one. Nobody else is standing. Nobody else is pushing back. Nobody else is challenging this mandate. Nobody is challenging. I'm telling you, it only takes one Rosa Parks to say, you know what, I ain't got no more back of the bus left in me. You sit at the back of the bus, I'm sitting at the front of the bus, and then the Alabama bus boycott began. It was one person. Martin Luther King, one person. You will find that all the way through history, one person who refused to look at the odds and instead looked to God changed the world. God is looking for people like Eliezer who will not look at the odds but will look at God, look to God to stand. Ezekiel 22 verse 30, God speaking says, so I sought for just a man among them who would build a wall, build a hedge, stand in the gap and cry out to me on behalf of the city that I might not destroy it. God is always looking for one man. It was Esther, one woman who come from a home of tragedy. Mom and dad died when she was little. She was raised by Uncle Mordecai. Her name was Hadassah, but she was named after the Babylonian god Ishtar. That's where her name was, Esther. And she was raised in a Babylonian empire, but she stood for God. And when Mordecai came and said, listen, the decree is written. Haman has literally signed a decree. It's now passed the House. It's gone into the Senate. It is passed. It is stamped. It is approved. The Jews are going to be wiped out. And she says, you don't understand. I can't go before the king. If I go before the king unannounced, it's a death penalty. And he says, you know what? You can stay silent, but don't think that you won't perish. When they find out you're a Jew, you'll suffer the same fate. You can stay silent. God will raise up deliverance. It'll come from somewhere else. But, sweetheart, just maybe you were brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. Esther didn't look at the odds anymore. She looked at the God over the odds. She looked to God and she said, if I perish, I perish. And she goes in before the king. All the way through the Bible, God just needed one person. He just needed one man. He's always just looking for one man. You know, my family, Christianity came to my family because of one person getting saved. You can be that person. You can be that catalyst. You can be that change agent if you look to God and don't look to the odds. Somebody say amen. The last one, numero cinque, number five. The Lord brings about a great victory. The Lord brings about a great victory. I love this. I love this. At first, I wasn't going to make it a point, but I thought, no, I have to make it a point. It says this. It says in verse, I think it's 14 there. It says, but they took their stand in the midst of their plot and defended and killed the Philistines, and the Lord rescued them by a great victory. The Lord rescued them by a great victory. One of the biggest challenges that we had when we moved to Southern California was the Calvinist stronghold, the sovereignty of God stronghold. And the sovereignty of God goes like this. Well, you know, if it's God's will, it'll just automatically happen. You little human beings are just, you're irrelevant. You're irrelevant. You can't affect God. God is sovereign and you are totally corrupt. You know, tulip. The total depravity. T stands for total depravity. And total depravity means that you, God is not influenced by man. God is not moved by man. And look, that's a brilliant theology if you never read the Bible. If I never read the Bible, I'd be like, yeah, sure. You know, I don't know any better. I've never read the Bible. I believe what you say. It's probably the most corrupt and perverted theology because it's inconsistent with the Bible. All the way through the Bible, God moves on behalf of men. Do you know how many times Moses saved Israel from God wanting to wipe them out? That's it. Get back. I'm going to wipe them all out. And he's like, whoa, not so fast. And he has to stand in. He gets Aaron. He says, Aaron, quick, run to the altar. Take a censer, put some fire in it, put some incense on it, and run ahead of the plague. The plague has begun. And make intercession before the Lord. And so he interceded for the people. And the Bible says that Aaron on that day stood between the living and the dead. One man. God brought about a great victory. God didn't bring about a great victory because it was always his will. God brought about a great victory because Eliezer, the son of Dodo, a champion, stood in the field because of his courage. Can I just tell you, there are things that God will honor. And the Calvinists won't tell you this. They'll just tell you that everything that God does, he does sovereignly. You will find when you look at the scriptures, Abraham interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah, and God saved Lot. He would have perished had Abraham not interceded. There are all the way through the Bible, if men hadn't stood, if men hadn't rose in courage, if men hadn't cried out, if men hadn't interceded, if men didn't rise up in their hour, it would have gone different. God is no different today. The devil wants you to believe that God is just sovereign and whatever God wants to happen will happen. Que sera, sera. Why don't you just go on your vacation? Why don't you just sit on your fufu? No, no, no. We know this, that God moves in response to courage. God moves in response to faith. God moves in response to people standing up and crying out to God. God moves in response to faithfulness. I remember a situation many, many years ago where we were negotiating for a building and we were sitting with the leaders of this church, and the valuation of the building was $9 million, but they'd spent $16 million on it, and they were trying to get their money back. And I'm just like, you guys spent way too much money on the building. The valuation is here. We will pay full price for the valuation. And they're like, no, 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 we can't do that because the building owes us this money. And I'm like, well, that's your stupidity. Like, God doesn't honor stupidity. So I'm thinking they're going to see the kingdom. They're like, no, we just sell it to a developer, you know, and we'll lose another conditional use permit. San Diego has no zoning for churches. You have to get a conditional use permit. Conditional use permits are as rare as hen's teeth, as difficult to get. And these people, and then I never forget the leader said, yeah, we just don't know what God's doing. We just don't know what God's doing. And my thought was, you don't know what God's doing and you're leading people? You don't know what God's doing because you don't know God. But they had the theology of, you know, God is sovereign. We don't know what God is doing. You know what God is doing? He's not blessing you. You're stupid. You spend $16 million on a $9 million building. God's not. Let me just say this. God blesses boldness. He blesses obedience. He blesses faith. He blesses courage. I am not smart enough, clever enough, wise enough. It wasn't like, oh, Jürgen, you landed in San Diego and God all of a sudden said, hey, take a seat, watch what I'm about to do. And he did all of that stuff, 10 campuses. Each campus has got a warfare. If you don't believe it, ask Pastor Mike and Katie Yeager. Each campus that we launch has a warfare attached to it. But if we step back, this is not going to be. Do you know how many people tried to get on Coronado? How many pastors and how many churches have been shut down or run out of that? But we know that there's a warfare, but we ain't backing up. We're Eliezer. We're going to stand. We're going to draw a line in the sand, whether we prefer to live on that. God, if God has said you're going there, then bad luck. Well, doesn't matter if I like Bali. Doesn't matter if I like, we're drawing a line in the sand and we're going to fight for our city. We're going to fight for the regions. We're going to fight for what's right. God honors boldness. God honors. The Bible says the Lord brought about a great victory, but the Lord brought about a great victory because of Eliezer's courage, because of Eliezer's stand, because of Eliezer's principles. Can I just tell you, in my life, I have found that God will honor obedience. God will honor faithfulness. God will bless righteousness. God, the Bible says that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's something about living right. There's something about honoring God that God will bless. If you want to see the Lord bring about great victories in your life, start learning to be a champion. Be a champion. Live above the fray. Live above the status quo. Live above the principles of the world. Make the Bible the handbook for your life. Make the Bible something that you ingest and then live by, and you will find that God's blessing comes upon you. You know, yesterday, just to finish in my Bible reading, I was reading about Zechariah. And Zechariah is, the lot came to him and he goes behind the veil and he's putting the incense and on the altar and ministering to the Lord. And Gabriel appears and says, Zechariah, thine prayer has been heard and answered. And Zechariah, the Bible says, you know, shook with fear at the presence of Gabriel. And then he's like, which prayer? He's like, your wife, you're going to have a son. And Zechariah is like, hang on, whoa. How can this be? I'm old. And my wife, well advanced in years. Notice he didn't call her old. He's a smart man. She's well advanced in years. And Gabriel's like, does this happen often? I stand in the presence of the living God, and I've been sent to tell you you're going to have a son, that your prayer's answered, and you, as the priest of Israel, have no faith that God answers prayer, have no faith that when an angel comes to tell you good news, you don't believe it? Mute. See, he's on mute. The Bible says 9 months later, the little baby's born, and the Bible says on the eighth day when they were circumcising him is when they named him. And the Bible says they were going to name him Zacharias, like his father. And then Elizabeth says, oh, no, his name's not Zacharias, his name's going to be Johannes, his name's going to be John. And they said, but there's nobody in your lineage with that name. No, his name's should be Zacharias. And then Zacharias asks them to bring him something to write. And so he gets a scroll, a papyrus, and he writes, his name is John. And when the people saw his name is John, all of a sudden his tongue was loosed and he began to speak, and they all praised. Unbelief closed his mouth. Obedience opened his mouth. Unbelief closed his mouth. Obedience opened his mouth. There are things that God will bless. There are things that God will bring breakthrough in your life. God is a God who is looking for a man, a woman. Build a wall, stand. God is looking for courage. He's looking for people who are faithful. He's looking for people who are obedient. I have found that the blessing of God has rested on us simply because I didn't look to the odds. I looked to God. Simply because we drew a line in the sand. Simply because we knew that God blesses courage. The Lord wants to bring about a great victory in your life. The question is, will you do what is right? The question is, will you honor God? The question is, will you be courageous? The question is, will you obey? The question is, will you continue to be faithful? The question is, will you rise above the crowd? The question is, will you glorify him in everything you do? Let me just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these beautiful people. I thank you, Father, that you love them. I thank you, Lord God, as we read the diary of a champion, that every single person hearing this message today can be a champion, because all of these principles that we saw in Eliezer, we can adopt and we can apply in our life. Father, I pray that the testimony of every person that hears this message is that this was the greatest year of my life. My life literally could be the diary of a champion. The greatest days, the greatest victories, the greatest battles won, the greatest possession of territory I've ever had, new homes, new businesses, new titles, new contracts, our greatest days in our marriage, our greatest day in our family, our greatest days of freedom, our greatest day of being delivered from addiction, our greatest elevation happened this year because of the diary of a champion. Father, bless these people in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, what an amazing word. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Hey, listen. For more information about our church, go to www.awakenchurch.com or subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already, and download our app. It is amazing. It is chock full of incredible messages, information about upcoming events, and you can even support our ministry if you feel so inclined. We loved having you with us today. We look forward to seeing you again. God bless you. Live a life that is transformative. Bye for now.